Okay, love, we are ready. We are live. Let's do this. So, we have a couple things that you guys have asked about. You asked some really great questions, so thank you for that. Great questions always fuel me. I always appreciate those. So, we're going to dive in to answer those first. I don't anticipate it taking too terribly long. So you may wish to know that there's also going to be ample time for additional questions as well as time for a session. Now, just for the quality control of the recording, if you're live on the call, what I'm going to suggest that you do is hit the mute button unless you're talking. And then when you're talking, you can unmute yourself and then it just won't pick up your background noise. And then if you want to rehear the recording, it'll just be easier to hear everything. And that way you can, do your thing. You can run around and we won't hear you peeing or chopping vegetables or whatever it is you're doing as you are listening to this recording. If you're like me and you're a bit of a multitasker and you need to do things rather than just be still to take in information sometimes. All right, loves. So let's dive into the first question here. I'm going to pull it up so I make sure that I say it right. Okay, so this question is actually very much a module 3-esque type of question. And oh, I could talk about mod 3 stuff for hours and hours and not run out of material to say. So I'm really excited about this question. So thank you for asking this one, Joanne. And it's simply, can you talk about the difference between feeling inspired as opposed to driven? So I'm calling it a Mod 3 question or a consciousness question because on our general consciousness portion of our chart, we work with this a lot in the time area. So is this enthusiasm versus motivation? Is this inspired versus desired? So these two are very parallel, both of these topics of enthusiasm and inspired versus motivation and desired. So I'm going to talk about them both, even though you only asked really about the second one. So the first one, I think, really gives a lot of clues as to the flavor of this. Enthusiasm literally translates to meaning on theos or with the gods, if we look at the Greek translation there. So on theos, to literally feel like you are with the gods. It doesn't talk about the effort required, which would be motivation. And in fact, even if you watch like Gary Vee or all the other classic sort of famous motivational speakers out there, they always say the same thing. That motivation is like brushing your teeth. You wouldn't go more than a day without doing it. So, from a body talk perspective, we understand motivation to be very much a coping tool, and sometimes we need it. So, it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's simply a way that we use to get our needs met in the moment. So, that would be the coping version of it all. Whereas enthusiasm doesn't need replenishment, it comes from an endless source and it is limitless in its potentiality. It doesn't mean that, every human is capable of anything. That would be a bit of a reach to assume that. That's probably a much more in-depth conversation. So I'll leave that there unless you really want to dive in and explore that. You can let me know that one. And for the enthusiasm, then it really speaks to the place that we're coming from as well with inspiration. So it is a place of effortlessness. It does feel like we are with the gods to be inspired. Think of when you literally take an inhale, an inspiration, you have the opportunity to use that oxygenation, to use that life force energy to begin something new. Or really to continue anything else new. Every project or every breath creates an opportunity for newness in any given moment, one could argue that. So if we're talking about inspired versus desire, well, or driven, I think was your exact word here, love. Yes, it was. So to be driven, again, it speaks of something that you constantly have to be doing. And it needs replenishment, and you're always having to, I think of it as like kicking your own ass. Literally, like you're driving a team of donkeys, except it's you that's driving your own team of donkeys internally. So you're literally kicking and whipping your own ass to make something happen. And again, that's neither here nor there. It's not necessarily good or bad. It just is the experience. And we've all been there, we've all done it, and we've all needed to do it at times. If we're coming out of a deep, dark depression, sometimes the only way to do that is to kick our own ass. No matter what, you are eating something green today. No matter what, you're moving your body today. No matter what, you're going to get up and you're going to do fill in the blank. Okay. And then by contrast, then inspiration requires, again, just no effort on our part. It doesn't mean that there isn't action that isn't taken. It doesn't mean that it doesn't consume energy to do it. It just simply means you don't have to effort to make yourself do every single aspect of it. So I know I've often been, well, I'm going to say accused of being driven. And those words have never landed with me. I couldn't even understand what people were talking about. It didn't make sense to hear myself being referred to as driven. It's like, no, I'm not driven. I do what I love. I spend time with my passion and I love doing it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't cost me energy, and it doesn't mean that there isn't a certain amount of stuff that I don't like that goes hand in hand with that. But if I'm purely doing just the piece of passion that for me is usually the creative energy, any sort of building, I am a very strong builder from the topics that we've covered earlier. And for me, it felt, well, when you're in that flow, effortless. All the creators have said when something is coming into creation, it's as if it's moving through me. It's not from me, it's not of me, it's just moving through me. So to me, that's the big difference. One is effortful and it requires constant energy to do it, and it may or may not be something that you overly even really enjoy. And sometimes that's necessary for it to eventually become more and more inspired. Okay. So sometimes the desire is a stepping stone to inspiration or being inspired, and sometimes motivation is a stepping stone to finding your enthusiasm again. Simply one is coping, and one is the experience of just being with the flow, or in body talk, in the individuated form. It would be our fancy lingo for that all. So I hope that helps with that. If you have any other things that you want me to follow up on that, I honestly could talk about these sorts of things for hours. So please do dive deeper if you so wish, or if you want to talk about a different aspect of it, let me know and I'd be happy to go into more on that. Okay, now, so that was your question, Joanne. Maria, we've got a couple here. I'm just bringing those up. They were all around the first topic, exploring you and your ways of being. Okay, so the chart is interesting, but what is its purpose? And then in brackets, I do see how it helps me become more patient and accepting of others and of myself because I now know from which personality types we are all coming from. Yes. So I'm going to shy away from the word purpose a little bit here. And I sort of lump a few words together in my mind. Purpose is one of those ones that feels like motivation and has that same type of energy of desire. I think I shy away from it because I've heard just so many people say over the years that I just need to find my purpose. And they spend all this time looking for their purpose when they really just don't, well, when they're really just avoiding doing the work that they need to get into enthusiasm and inspiration and just simply experiencing life. They're missing the journey of it all. Yeah. So let's back up then. So if the chart is interesting, what is its purpose? Let's explore. Actually, I think the best answer for that is really to let you find your answer. And I know I'm kind of the queen of those types of answers. For me, I know what my experience was with it, and it was a tremendous relief to figure out what the hell it was that was going on inside of me. It let me stop beating myself up for my actions, and it made me understand the place that I'm coming from. And it made me understand to a much richer, deeper degree that other people are not made of the same stuff. It's not their makeup. So for me, it provided tremendous relief, and it still does to even like the little things in life. What type of exercise am I drawn to? And not shockingly, right now, it is anything to do with a barbell. It's about building muscle because, again, I'm a builder, and that keeps my attention much more so than, just ride the spin bike for 45 minutes and then get off. Yeah, you can compete with that a little bit, and you can drive yourself, and you can watch your leg muscles grow, but it's just not as comprehensive and as thorough as something else. So it made me understand also what might be more in line with my passion and how to fill my cup with even more of that. So again, more relief from another angle. It's also given me the ability to express what it is I need and what it is that I need from others to give me more of what I need. I really need the opportunity to build every damn day, or I get just cranky, like seriously irritated and cranky. So if I don't get that need met on a day-to-day basis, at least 6 out of 7 days of the week, and then I'm just not as much fun to be around, and I'm not as much fun to live with, and that's not as much fun for me to be around me, or anybody else to be around me for that matter. So those are a few offshoots of how I've seen it play out for me. That's certainly not the whole comprehensive package of what it's done for myself and for others. So I'm more interested to see how it continues to fuel you. You may notice it creeps up into your mind down the road as you sit with this material even more. I know I did this topic several times actually, just for myself before ever presenting it. And who I thought I was and what category changed. And it changed so dramatically from what time of year it was. So I slow right down in summer. Summer's my off season, so to speak. And I thought I was an enjoyer. And then it hit fall, and fall is my go hard time for work, and I love it. And then I did it again, and all of a sudden it was different. So I've also learned the ebb and flow of myself given what season I'm in. So continue to explore for yourself what purpose this holds for you. And it might not hold anything, and that's okay. There might also be some more value here for you to continue to unfold. So feel free to revisit this and to revisit it, in a few months, 6 months, 9 months, a year down the road, and see if this continues to shed new light or different light for you. It was fascinating when Dave did this too. I got to understand my partner from a whole new perspective. It's like, oh, that's so how a builder would react to this type of being. That makes sense. This explains our arguments. This explains where it is we struggle to really see eye to eye on things. We accept it in each other. We just go, that's not my experience of it. That doesn't make sense to me. Have at it. It's all yours. You do you. All right. So if you want more on that, let me know. That's question one. Question two. How can I use the information to solve my big problems like monkey mind, trouble completing things, boredom with routine, continual search for newness? I don't see how this chart can help me escape my mind. Ah, isn't that always the way? So now what is the question, right? Now, what do we do with this information and how do I apply it to my monkey mind? That's actually a great question to sit with right there. So, in this, who am I and what's my way of being? And how can I entertain The notion that my mind is simply going to think in this way because simply that's the way I am. Currently hardwired. This is my way of being. This is the place that I'm coming from. Can that introduce a fraction more, 1% more gentleness of how you approach yourself and your mind, or how it is you judge your actions of having trouble completing things or being bored with routine or all the other different actions, whether they're practical or not? Is there the capacity to give yourself a deep breath and go, of course, this is the place that I'm coming from. And this is what happens classically with all of that. So it may not necessarily solve a particular problem in the traditional sense of 2 + 2 = 4. It may provide you some breathing space if we take it on from that ability to explore this with as much compassion and gentleness for self as we would a new little being, whether that's a puppy, a kitty, a baby, a newborn. Okay. In terms of helping you escape your mind, well, let me know when you find the thing that does that. There isn't really an escape hatch, so to speak, in terms, well, I guess there's many escape hatches, but aren't we already really well practiced at trying to figure out what those are? There's lots of ways that we cope. And this can be one more way too. This could be a temporary coping tool. It may also be used from the perspective of helping you to transcend your classic ways of coping. So I'm off to Mexico tomorrow, actually Saskatoon tomorrow, and then we fly out of Saskatoon on Wednesday morning. And I'm going to be sitting on a beach, and I'm not going to be building. My mind won't shut off. I'll still be building ideas and projects and creating, different sorts of ways of working with social media and website ideas and all of that. My mind doesn't usually shut off that way. But it won't be the classic sit in front of my computer for 8+ hours a day to implement those changes or to create the next stage in a very tamasic or physical kind of a way. So it's not necessarily about escaping anything. It's really about becoming friends with it. It's really about, how gentle can I be here? How compassionate can I be here? Can I treat myself like I would my best friend? Can I treat myself like I would a newborn, like a kitty, like a puppy? Can I treat myself like I would my family? Well, depending upon your family relationships, you may want to nix that one. You decide for yourselves. Okay. All right, I could likely wax poetic a lot longer here, but I'm going to digress at this point. And do let me know if you want any more on those two questions, Maria. I'm happy to dive even deeper if you so wish, or if you have a more specific question or angle on it all, let me know. And you're welcome to do that during this call as well. I may tell you I want to take some time to think about it, or I may just be like, oh, yeah, I can talk about that. All right, everybody. If there's nothing else, or if you have any other questions that are coming to you, now's a good time to ask them. Okay. And if there's nothing else, we're going to dive into doing the session. Okay. Giving yourself some slow, deep inhales and exhales. Let's have you make your way to a nice, quiet, cozy place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. Beginning here by means of breathing, taking some slow, deep inhales and exhales. every breath an opportunity to release and let go. And begin to feel yourself sink even deeper into that cushion below you. Okay, so the agenda that's coming up for this session is to focus on this topic of effort versus effortlessness, which is really kind of the theme that ended up, even though those questions weren't exactly precisely related. They seem to boil down to that, foundation to efforts and effortlessness in a certain sense. Okay, so that's not entirely surprising. All right, so it's working with the understanding that we have in our mass consciousness that if you just work hard, you'll, you know, get results, it'll pay off in the end. And that's often not the case. We also hear the phrase work smarter, not harder. But again, that's not terrifically fucking helpful if we don't know what action to take in alignment with that. So for our first thing that we're doing is we're going into the small intestine meridian, discernment is what that rules, and its relationship to the gallbladder meridian, which influences our brain and decision-making and catalyzing the courage to take forward action. So in essence, it helps to give rise to that forward momentum. And looking here at the concept that that requires effort in order to be able to be successful. Okay, so we're pairing that within the relationship of these two meridians, addressing that belief system and theme of thinking in general as a concept. And then we're going to link that all through to general consciousness, big four, and link that to individuation along with all five senses, both physical and subtle alike. In parallel or at the same time, we're running diaphragm, center of control and emotional processing, to the intestine, center for letting go of all of our crap that we just don't need to hang on to anymore. Okay, we're going to tap this all out here. Give that all some slow, deep inhales and exhales. Okay, next thing is we're running a cellular repair, restoring cells back to the fullest potential of health. It's acquired from overwork, and specifically it's the type of work that it's like busy work. It just spins our wheels and doesn't really advance us or progress us any direction. That's linking into a certain aspect of general consciousness, specifically in the category of individuation. We're looking at the consciousness here of synthesis, and we're linking that to the heart, along again with, oh, it's actually not all five senses, it's the sense of touch. So I think this is supporting the sense of touch and synthesis, to be able to synthesize by feeling your way through things. Okay, and that's all linking into the heart, again, for its role in individuation or harmony. It's orientating to, I don't know much about numerology, but I had to look this one up for a client the other day, the number 6. And it's all about harmony. It's all about taking in the essence of being nurtured and nourished by the universe, by the universal mother, if you will. And It's like the one number that gets along with everybody. It provides an intense amount of ease and balance and comfort. And then we're actually going to link that essence as well of the number six and all that it controls and governs, all of its qualities, through to the spine. And here we're working with a central energy channel, the Sushumna, that carries our Kundalini energy. And you can think of that simply as our vital life force energy. From this, we also need to do an emotional release of specifically turbulence. Related to this, belief systems of it has to be hard, I have to struggle. And there's a third one, I have to earn my way to the top. Can't just get handed to me, I gotta earn my way there. It's all linking into the right shoulder. And as if you were like putting your shoulder into it, like you were using it almost like a battering ram to push down a door or to push a car or just like put your shoulder into it and just push harder type of energy. And we're removing the consciousness of needing to push harder to try to get ahead. So rather than having to push against obstacles to get things moving, we're simply opening up the possibility of sidestepping and walking around it. It's linking into a permission, so it's a question. The words are, what's the easiest way I can do this? And even just phrasing it that way gives relief, because often we think, ah, oh, this is what I have to do. We start thinking, okay, I need to do this and that and this and that. And before we know it, our to-do list looks overwhelming. Rather than approaching it in the reverse way of, what's the easiest way I can do this? Related to this is some homework around, well, exploring that question, but also exploring the premise of if you can replace, and some of you have done this exercise with me before, but this is a good reminder, of replacing the words I have to with I get to. I have to calculate my mileage with I get to calculate my mileage. I have to build this fucking website to, I get to build maybe this fucking website or however you choose to finish that. Okay, so replacing I have to with I get to support what's the easiest way to do this. Forgive me, I'm going to turn that off so it doesn't keep doing that because that's what it'll do. Okay, that's linking into, it's actually thoracic 12 rib. So the rib that comes off of the bottommost vertebrae, or not bottommost vertebrae, the bottommost vertebrae of the thoracic spine, is our bottommost rib. And it's carrying with it the consciousness of when to protect and when to let that need for protection go. So when to provide protection and when to let that need for protection go. And I'm not entirely sure what to make of that, so I'll let you guys fill it out and see what you notice on your end. I won't set you up for anything. Just like I won't set you up for what's the purpose of that. That chart and that same type of thinking. That's all linking in to the thalamus. And we're going right into literally the core of our limbic emotional brain here. Nothing gets in or out of our entire brain without going through this guy. It's like the sun of the solar system of our brain. And we need to repair its relationship to the sexual chakra, our center for vitality, our center for also supporting the immune system in dealing with acceptance versus rejection. And here we need to run a defrag of what things you're accepting and what things you're rejecting as it orients to your goals that you are exploring from that topic. And making sure that the right things are getting focused on by the body-mind by really just uncrossing the wires with this addressing of this belief system. Rejection is acceptance. So then acceptance is rejection. As long as that belief system's there, it's just creating some fuzziness here. So we're going to run a defrag on this all to support that further. Defrag, much like a computer defrag, I think of it more as a spring clean because I'm not really a computer person. Taking out all the clutter of what doesn't need to be here, and then what remains can be more readily resourced for healing. Okay, loves, we're going to tap here, give that all some slow, deep inhales and exhales. And perhaps that need for protection is tying in with some of that immune system acceptance, rejection stuff. Okay, this next piece is about stepping into the transition between yin to yang. And that's a bit of an oxymoron because they're both present all the time. But it's really just about finding some balance here between the ability to take not necessarily the action that we need and to simply end up taking either no action or action that isn't in support of your goals or your where you're headed with your finding inspiration either way or enthusiasm. And to support that, we actually need to run switching technique to cope or deal with stress. As well as action, and I'm not entirely sure why, but a full body hydration. So absorbing water, joy, releasing impurities, as well as going with the flow is the consciousness that we're working with here. In parallel, we're running a permissions related to everything that we've been addressing here. Not surprisingly, the words are, it can be easy. Now you've got some homework with that one as well. So it can be easy. Literally, eyes in a mirror, being your own best bullshit radar detector, saying these words out loud until it sounds calm and assertive alike. When you've got that one down, then you're ready for the next one. And the next permissions is, it is easy. Okay, loves. We're going to tap that part all in. Give that all some slow, deep inhales and exhales, breathing here. Okay. Next, running cellular repair on the different systems in your body that are working harder than they need to. It's maybe a little different for everybody, but there's a particular one that's present for everyone regardless. It's the cerebrospinal fluid that circulates throughout our brain and spinal column. I think the CSF is super cool. You've probably heard me say something like this before, because I talk about it, well, a lot every time it comes up. So forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but in case I haven't told you this, the CSF is one of the most neutral substances there is in our body. It is the most well-balanced masculine feminine substance. It provides nurturing and nourishing as it circulates all of our nutrients, very feminine, and it also provides protection. So this protects us from it's like a little shock absorber from our brain hitting the skull every time we move or come to a sudden halt. So the masculine feminine balance here is very strong. Right now, though, it's just working a lot harder than it needs to do both of those jobs simultaneously. To further support the stepping out of the yin, feminine, and into the yang, masculine, and taking the appropriate action as required. I know we started that with the last formula. This is like part two to that. We're running pineal to pituitary, the most powerful masculine feminine balancing we have in all of body talk. And then we're linking that through to the bottom four chakras, the heart, solar plexus, sexual, and base chakras, all simultaneously. I'm just seeing an image, so I'm just trying to make heads and tails of it all. The image is of, you know, that classic magician move where they yank a sheet out from underneath, like the cutlery and the plates, and then nothing is disturbed except for the fact that the sheet is now off the table, but everything else is remaining as is. I'm not even sure if that's really magic or if it's, well, I guess. I digress at that point. I'll stop before I get myself into trouble. It's probably just quick hands. But the point is I'm basically seeing that move of like a little sheet getting torn off of the bottom four chakras. Okay, and this is actually more around stripping back a layer of coping that's been here. And it's looking here at stepping into the vulnerability of asking for help as required, as well as stepping into the exact words here are the most naked version of yourself. What that means, or the way that my brain is interpreting it, is to step into the most authentic expression of who you are in your avenues that you're exploring within your personal and your professional lives. And well, really, how we do one is how we do everything. So, how can we come to this exploration from an even more honest or naked place of showing people this is who I am? How can we step behind those layers of coping? How can we step behind the layers of motivation and desire to begin to step into even more enthusiasm and inspiration. For this, we're running a permissions, and the words simply are, I am not my efforts. And we're tapping here. Give that all a few slow, deep inhales and exhales. Kayla. Cool. To integrate this, we're going into the expression as below, so above. It's a classic Chinese medicine reference. I'm sure it's used in a lot of other things. That's just the context in which I first heard it. And we're getting the bottom three chakras to basically educate or be used as a resource of information of how to step into the authentic expression of you. For now, the top three chakras. So we'll let the bottom guys do it first. Interesting that the yang, bottom three chakras, had to go first before the top three, yin. So the bottom three will take that action and then in turn allow for the top three to just simply be supported by their efforts. So it's a beautiful partnership between yang and yin. So cool. Okay, breathing here. Give that all some slow, deep inhales and exhales. All right, love bugs, that is all she wrote for today. If you have any questions, comments, queries, as always, let me know. You've got a lot of homework actually with that session. They're not always so homework laden, but apparently you're a hungry, thirsty bunch ready to chew in some stuff. So there you go. Happy exploring and know if I can support you in any of that in any way. And I really appreciate all the questions and the communications that you guys have been sending. That just feeds my soul. So please do keep all of that coming. And you're welcome, Maria. Bless you too. And I look forward to working together with you all in this ongoing kind of fashion. So send in everything that you can think of for questions. And if it can't wait till the next topic call that we're doing, or a topic summary call, what am I calling these things? Office hours, there we go. Then just let me know that too. I will happily answer whatever needs to before that. I may just also additionally answer it because other people may also have that question too for office hours. So thanks so much, everybody. I'm going to sign off for now and wish you a fabulous rest of your evening, day, whichever time zone you happen to be in. Okay, bye for now, loves.